sold at home for the $50 bill.
Well, yes, friends, following those classic gospel favorites, we're back here on the Way Back Country Jamboree Morning Show. We are just sitting on the other side of the second hour, 9 o'clock here this morning. And I would also like to remind y'all that this is the Way Back Country Jamboree coming to you via the Woodlock Ranch and Studios in Cornwall, Ontario. We are also being heard and brought to you via CFRC from the heart of downtown Kingston, Limestone City of Canada. I'd also like to remind y'all that we can also be heard via World Wide Web at www.cfrc.ca. Now, as I welcome y'all back into the Way Back Country Jamboree second hour here this morning, I would like to remind y'all that this weekend marked the birthday of Gene Autry, the great singing cowboy hero himself, who was born September 29th, 1907. And it was also marked the 26th anniversary of his sad passing, which happened October 2nd, 1998. So with all that mentioned, I would like to remember the legendary Gene Autry himself this morning with a double feature here today. First of all, we're going to hear an all-time favorite tribute song to him by Canada's country gentleman, Tommy Hunter, and a classic titled Gene Autry, My Hero. Then we'll follow with a classic western song by Gene himself titled Blue Shadows on the Trail. With that, I'd like to welcome y'all to the second hour at 9 o'clock here this morning and just say good morning to all my listeners out there in Radio World.
The childhood memories I treasure the most, I suppose, were the Saturday afternoons spent at the town picture show. I'd worked all day long in the fields, but at night I would dream. And I'd see Gene Autry go riding across the big screen. Saturday mornings I'd walk 5 miles or more. And 12 o'clock noon found me first one in line at the door. I'd worked all week long, but today I'd fulfill my dream. And I'd see Gene Autry go riding across the big screen. The man in the white cowboy hat is a hero to me. He was and he is now, and I guess he always will be. Time takes away many things, but it can't take a dream. And I see Gene Autry go riding across the big screen. Oft as a child from our home in the country I'd roam, and my daddy would scold me, cause I'd never be around home. But Mom understood me, cause she'd always smile when I'd say, Gene Autry and I had been rounding up outlaws all day. The man in the white cowboy hat is a hero to me. He was and he is now, and I guess he always will be. Time takes away many things, but it can't take a dream. And I'd see Gene Autry go riding across the big screen. And I'd see Gene Autry go riding across the big screen.
You know, folks, one of the nicest things there is about living out here in this part of the country is that you become a living counterpart of the guy in a song like this. For the trail he's riding is one that every cowboy I know has ridden many a time. Listen, and I think you'll agree. shining through the trees, and a plaintive wail from the distance comes adrifting on the evening breeze. Move along, blue shadows, move along. Soon the dawn sheds its veil, there'll be blue shadows on the trail.
Blue shadows on the trail, pale moon shining through the trees,
and a plaintive wail from the distance comes a thrill on the evening breeze. Move along, blue shadows, move along. Soon the dawn will come and you'll be
on your way,
but until the darkness sheds its veil, there'll be blue shadows on the
Yes, friends, once again, it's that time in the program to welcome our very special guest of honor, Sim Bush the Wonder Husky, to our program this morning with her weekly picks. I'd like to once again salute her weekly picks on this, the celebration of 95th birthday of Leroy Van Dyke. And with that mentioned, let's begin with the first classic that we're going to highlight as Sim Bush's top picks, Tomorrow Will Retire. Then we'll follow with another classic, all-time favorite, Anne of a Thousand Days, which is another one of my all-time favorite songs, including a lot of you listeners out there have always commented on it. And then we're going to wrap up this classic selection of Sim Bush's top favorites of Leroy Van Dyke with a classic titled Hobo Bill's Last Ride. And y'all will remember this as both a Jimmy Rogers and Hank Snow classic. So with that, I'd like to thank Sim Bush for her top picks, a Leroy Van Dyke collection this morning. Welcome in, friends, and good morning to my listener.
Dad's old faded trousers, Mama's old print dress, they're not much in the fashions now, they can't afford the best. I know they feel neglected and sometimes in the way, because the last time I was home I heard my mother say, well, you kids have all got married off now, and you've left us here by ourselves. We didn't know what lonesome meant until the last one of you had left. You've all got families of your own now that all of your friends admire. Now that we've seen all of our dreams come true, tomorrow we'll retire. We still have the old home place because, you see, we paid it off last year. And we don't owe a soul a dime because everything we've got's clear. So now we'll just sit back and relive our younger days, and we'll relax here by the fire. And if we both manage to live throughout this night, then tomorrow
we're gonna retire. We've seen the rainstorms flood our fields and wash all of our crops away. And then the drought would come to follow this, and it would last for days and days and days. Why, Pa and me's worked out in them fields when that old sun was as hot as fire. But that's all in the far-fetched past now, and tomorrow we're gonna retire. In health, it seems like we've both been lucky, but you can see we're kind of getting gray. Our pension starts tomorrow, and it's just barely enough to pay our way. But after all, we've lived to see all you kids grow up, and that's been our heart's desire. And if the world don't come to an end tonight, kids, well, tomorrow we'll retire. So tomorrow we'll retire. And for a thousand days I've loved you. For a thousand nights I thought you were mine. It's hard to realize things could be the way they seem. I'll never get over the shock it's been to me to find out after all this time. Those thousand days have been a horrible dream. And of a thousand days I've loved you, that was my only sin. The hurt's so deep, and though you weep, how can I take you back again? I waited late in life to marry you, and you were the only girl I ever wanted, the only girl I ever cared the least bit about. When I see the friends who warned me, I didn't know what I was getting into. How in the world will I face them the moment that they find out? When we got married, it took all my savings to buy you the fine house you wanted and that brand new car. I gave you nearly all of every paycheck. I just kept enough for cigarettes. I set up charge accounts in all the department stores, and you've run them up so high. How will I ever clear away all those debts? And of a thousand days I've loved you, that was my only sin. The hurt's so deep, and though you weep, how can I take you back again? Lately you've been going out alone. You said you were just playing bridge with the girls, but there's something going on behind my back. Night after night, I sit by myself watching TV, hoping all the things I'm hearing just couldn't possibly be a fact. Tonight, I couldn't stand it any longer. I followed you, saw you turn into the park and run into his arms. And as he kissed you, I watched your fingers at the back of his head. I tried to look away, but somehow I just stood there dumbfounded and so sick inside. I wished that I was dead. And of a thousand days I loved you, that was my only sin. The hurt's so deep, and though you weep, how can I take you back again? We've come to the end of the line, Ann. Now you're pleading and screaming, what's gonna happen to me? Well, all I can do before I leave and take it on the lam is to quote you those immortal words that Rhett Butler said to Scarlett O'Hara. Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. Goodbye, Ann. And of a thousand days I've loved you, that was my only sin. Hurt so deep, and though you weep, I can't take you back again. In the Dodge City yards of the Santa Fe stood a freight made up for the East. And the engineer with his oil and waste was grooming the gridiron beast. While 10 cars back in the murky dusk, a boxcar door swung wide. A hobo lifted his pallet board to start on his last long ride.
The lantern swung and the freight pulled out and the engine had gathered speed. The engineer pulled the throttle wide and he clucked to his fiery steed. While 10 cars back in the empty box, the hobo rolled a pill. The flare of the match showed his partner's face, dark, white, and deathly still. As the train wheels clicked on the coupling joints, a song for the rambler's ear. The hobo talked to the still white form, his pal for many a year. For a mighty long time we've rambled, Jack, with the luck of men that roam. With a back door steps for a dining room and a boxcar for a home. We dodged the bulls on the eastern route and the cops on the Chesapeake. Traveled the Leadville narrow gauge in the days of Cripple Creek. Then we drifted down through sunny Cal on the rails of the old SP. And of all that you had through good and bad, a half always belonged to me. You made me promise to you, Jack, if I lived and you cashed in, to take you back to that old churchyard and to bury you there with the kin. You seemed to know that I'd keep my word, for you said that I was right. Well, I'm keeping my promise to you, pal, 'cause I'm taking you home tonight. I hadn't the money to send you there, so I'm taking you back on the fly. But it's a decent way for a boat to go home to the by and by. I knew that fever had you, Jack, but that doctor just wouldn't come. He was too busy treating the wealthy folk to doctor a railroad bum. As the train rolled over its ribbons of steel straight through to the east it sped, and the engineer in his high cab seat kept his eye on the rails ahead. While 10 cars back in the empty box, a lonely hobo sighed for the days of old and his pals of old, taking his last long ride.
'Twasn't God who made honky-tonk angels.
Hi, folks. This is Bobby Wright, son of the queen of country music, Miss Kitty Wells.
Hello. This is Sue Sturdivant, daughter of the queen of country music, Kitty Wells, and Johnny Wright.
And you're listening to my good friend, Johnny Woodlock.
On the Wayback Country Jamboree. Keep listening.
This is what country music should sound like.
That has caused many a good girl to go wrong.
Yes, friends, once again, it's that time in the program to pay tribute to the great Canadian Northern legends on what I like to call the Great Canadian Northern Gems by even greater Canadian Northern legends. And as we pay tribute to the country music history book of Canadian country music, let's begin with a song going out to my dear friends in Guelph, Ontario, whom I've been visiting with, John and Kathy Arsenault, who are the leaders of the online Facebook branch of the Stompin' Tom Fan Club. With that mentioned, it's going to be Stompin' Tom himself, the king of Canadian country music, in my opinion, and his story of what happens when you become too big of a fan, titled Stompin' Tom Fan Tango. Then we'll follow with a classic by Gary Buck, titled Walk a Mile in My Shoes, and we'll wrap up this set once again with Ray Griff, the legendary songwriter and singer out of Alberta, and a classic titled No Light in the Window. With that, I'd like to welcome you all to the Wayback Country Jamboree, and say good morning to all my listeners out there in the radio world.
It was early in May of 2001. I'm reading my paper, the Vancouver Sun. Just flipping some pages and what did I see? This feller named Sandler was mentioning me. He said that the Mounties arrested some man for being too much of a Stompin' Tom fan. Some neighbor complained how his records would blare, and now he is in jail for polluting the air. Well, it happened in Langley, way out in BC. Cleland and Begg were the RCMP. John Michael Hoffenden was the man's name, and for playing the stomper it brought him to shame. This man over 60, they raided his place, They took him by force and they sprayed him with mace. And if you never heard such a thing in your life, why, they even came back and arrested his wife. She had called the reporters and they're on the phone. They could hear the commotion outside of her home. They broke down her door and they dragged her away. Then they hung up the phone and said, have a nice day. Now everything's quiet in this neighborhood. With Bach and Beethoven, their music is good. They're oiling their mowers and washing machines. 'Cause if they get noisy, them Mounties get mean. And if you have a neighbor that's bothering you by playing that stomper, then here's what to do. Just call the police and create an uproar, and you won't have to hear Stompin' Tom anymore. Just call up the Mounties and they will make sure you won't have to hear Stompin' Tom anymore.
And out in the ghettos, and brother, mother was waiting when I got off the bus. He gripped my hand, but his feelings showed. His face was long, and he didn't say too much till we started home down the dusty road. Then he said, Mama won't be leaving a line in the window anymore. She won't be waiting up late at night for us when we walk through the door. She won't be making no apple pies on Sundays like she did before. Mama won't be leaving a line in the window anymore. Sister was weeping when we drove through the gate. She ran to me with a helpless sigh. I held her close and I kissed her pretty face. Then I dried the tears that were in her eyes. Then she said, Mama won't be leaving alive in the window. She won't be waiting up late at night for us when we walk through the door. She won't be making no apple pies on Sundays like she did before. Mama won't be leaving a light in the window anymore. Papa looked tired, like he was all done in. His eyes were red and his voice was weak. I shared his grief and my heart went out to him. Then he turned to me and began to speak. And he said, Mama won't be living alive in the window anymore. Be waiting up late at night for us when we walk through the door. She won't be making no apple pies on Sundays like she did before. Mama won't be leaving a light in the window anymore. Then he said, Mama won't be leaving a light in the window anymore. She won't be waiting up late at night for.
Dusty old farmer, out working your field, hanging down over your tractor wheel.
This is Martin McLaughlin. I'm the guy that wrote Farmer Song. You're listening to the Wayback Country Jamboree with my good friend Johnny Woodlock, right here on CFRC.
Straw hat and old dirty hankies.
Well, yes, friends, once again, it's that time to share another interview from the past with our dear friend and country music living legend, Leroy Van Dyke, who was born 95 long years ago this past Friday. With that shared, I would like to play an interview from Out of the Past with Leroy, which dates back to 2021 during the pandemic. Now, with that mentioned, I hope you all enjoy this visit with Leroy. And then following this interview and morning visit, we will hear an all-time favorite titled Walk On By, which is, as mentioned before, is known as the biggest country music record in all history, as named by Billboard charts in 1994. During its release in 1961, it spent 37 weeks on the top of the charts, 19 of those weeks at the number one position. So with that mentioned, here is, from 2021, our good friend, Leroy Van Dyke.
Let's go back to 1929 in Mora, Missouri. What are your earliest musical memories growing up?
Well, I don't remember too much at that time because that's when I was born and I didn't start paying attention. I do remember when I was 3 years old.
Okay.
I was born on a farm not too far from Sedalia, Missouri, and then we moved to another farm, but I do remember what things were like when I was 3 years old on the farm.
Mm-hmm.
We had chores to do. We carried in wood and carrying in water because we didn't have electricity, gathering the eggs and carrying in the eggs and feeding the pigs, and I was doing that when I was 3 or 4 years old. So those were my earliest remembrances. Kerosene lamps, we we had no electricity.
And if I may ask, you joined the Korean War back in the 50s there, and you also met and opened for Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah, I was in Korea for a year after I got out of college, and had a lot of spare time, and I had a good guitar at home, but I wrote home to my mother. I didn't want to send a good guitar over there and get it stolen or torn up, and I wrote home to my mother and asked her to open the Sears Roebuck catalog and find me a cheap guitar and send it over to me. So she sent me a $34 guitar. It was cheap, but it was good. I still have the guitar, and it still plays well. The neck is straight, and it's an amazing guitar. While I was doing that, everybody knew that I had a guitar there. I had my own tent, a 16 by 32 tent, and everybody knew I had a guitar down there, and so ever so often when they had a dinner or something, they'd ask me to get my guitar and sing a few songs. And one day, assistant regimental commander came down there and asked me to do him a favor, and I said, maybe what? And he said, well, we have a USO show coming in here, and we'd like you to open the show with about 15 minutes. I said, I'll do that. And I said, by the way, who's coming in with the USO show? And he said, Marilyn Monroe. I said, you got to be kidding me. You want me to go out there in front of 30,000 sex-starved GIs to entertain them while they're waiting on Marilyn Monroe? But I did it, and it worked well. She was good to me, and the crowd was good to me. They were my fellow soldiers, and I became the only person in country music to open a show for Marilyn Monroe.
Okay, and so let's go into 1956. You began performing on the Ozark Jubilee with Red Foley.
Well, that was about 58.
Okay. What do you remember about Red?
Well, I remember everything about it. If you have anything specific you want to ask about it, I had had a hit record with Auctioneer, and I went down there to become a regular with Red Foley. Mm-hmm. I'd met all those people before because I'd been in the business for a couple of years and played shows with quite a few of them around over the country. The Ozark Jubilee was, I believe, one of the first network TV shows featuring country music, and Red Foley was the star of the show. He was fun to work with.
Was he? Yes, okay. And how did it differ from the Grand Ole Opry?
The Ozark Jubilee was on the air for about 5 years, went off the air about 1960, and I stayed around Springfield, Missouri for a while because I didn't have any place else to go. So finally, 1961, I had a release on Mercury called Walk On By,
yes.
And I moved to Nashville, and about the time I moved to Nashville, Walk On By hit, and I joined the Grand Ole Opry.
And so let's step back a bit here to 1956 and your first single release of The Auctioneer. How did you come to write that song?
It's a true story of a second cousin of mine. He probably the best purebred livestock cattle auctioneer that ever walked.
Yes.
He's my second cousin. His name was Ray Sims, and he was about 8 years older than I. Grew up in the same county, and actually I wrote that song about him while I was in Korea. It's a true story of his life, except for one word. I couldn't think of anything to rhyme with Missouri, so I used the neighboring state of Arkansas. So there was a boy in Arkansas,
yeah,
instead of there was a boy in Missouri, because nothing rhymes with Missouri.
Exactly. And so let's go to 1961 and the song you had just mentioned, Walk On By. How did you come to record that?
Well, I was with Mercury Records, and I had my first release on Mercury was a song, Big Man in a Big House.
Yes.
And it got to number 17 in the charts and just kind of hung up there. And it became obvious that I should come out with another release to follow that up. And so we started looking for songs. Back then it was much simpler than it is now. We just called the songwriters that we knew or went into the publishing companies that we knew. We didn't have to have appointments. We just walk in.
Okay.
And we went into Lowry Music in Nashville, and he played some songs that really didn't interest me much. And he almost didn't play Walk On By for me, but he said, I've got one more song, but I won't play it for you because it's not finished. I said, what do you mean it's not finished? And he said, well, the song needs some work on it. It has no second verse.
Oh, okay.
So he played it for me, and I made some changes on the verse and the chorus, and he took it home that night and wrote the second verse to it. So the song that you hear on the air on the record was the work of three different people writing the song.
Okay.
Kendall Hayes, of course, was the one that had the magic line, the magic idea.
Mm-hmm.
We walk on by, wait on the corner, and the fellow down there at the Lowry Music worked on the second verse, wrote the second verse, and I rearranged a few things. So between the three of us, is the final product is what you hear.
And so let's go into 1967. You were cast in the movie What Am I Bid, which also starred Tex Ritter. What do you remember about...
You're talking about the movie?
Yes.
Well, it's the first and only movie I ever did. I didn't have any theatrical training.
No.
But my manager at that time was a guy named Gene Nash, and he worked out a movie deal for me to be filmed, of all places, in Canada.
Oh, wow, yes.
Yeah, you might not know that, but...
No, I don't.
The movie What Am I Bid was filmed up there on, I think, on Yonge Street at a studio.
Oh, yes, okay.
But we, that was a TV show. But the movie was done in Hollywood, but then the TV show that came in about that time was done in Canada.
Okay.
Anyway, it was a traditional Hollywood movie, and I had the lead role in it and featured the song Auctioneer, and also featured Ray Sims, the man I wrote the song about.
Mm-hmm.
I was not a professional actor, but it came off very well. It was a clean family-type movie, and I think everybody liked it.
Exactly, and that's what we're missing today is those type of movies.
It was kind of a payback deal, but we had control of the script and the production and everything, and we had several people that were good to me and helped me a little bit along the way. One of them was Al Hurt, one was Sharon Young. Ray Sims, of course, was instrumental in providing the subject for the song, and so we put all of those people in the movie.
Yes.
In addition to me and my band,
yes,
we put Al Hurt and Sharon Young and some of those people in there, that kind of a payback deal.
Okay, including Tex Ritter.
Tex Ritter was in the movie, and he was the first one to put me on a tour of county fairs.
Okay.
And that was a major part of my personal appearances for most of my career. I think there were a couple of a short period of time there that in 2 years' time I did about 120 county fairs.
Amazing, yes.
In addition to some state fairs.
Amazing, yes, okay. And so a little known fact to a lot of listeners here is that you're an official auctioneer and have taught auctioneer class.
Well, yeah. I went to auctioneer school right after my junior years of college. I got interested in auctioneering because of my cousin.
Mm-hmm.
And I came back and finished up college, went to the Army and came back, and then the song hit, and I wrote a home study course in auctioneering, and this a friend of mine that I wrote, a cousin that I wrote the song about, I and another auctioneer started an auctioneer school, and I taught at that school for a little bit, but I didn't have time to do much of that, and then later on I came out with a home study course in auctioneering, and we sold a lot of those around the country.
And another question I have for you today is, you brought out an album of cowboy country songs.
Well, it was just a kind of a theme deal, some of my old favorites, the songs that I used to listen to on the radio that were done with the Sons of the Pioneers and some other people, and it was just a theme song, and it was an album made up of Western songs.
And I must ask you, being a true living legend that you are, what is your opinion on the modern sounds coming out of Nashville?
Well, that opens a can of worms.
Yes, I know.
I don't care much for it. It doesn't sound like music to me.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have a storyline to it in most cases, but I don't blame the performers. They're just like every other young people trying to get in show business. They
yes.
give their eye teeth to get in show business, but I don't care for that kind of music because I don't understand it.
Yeah.
But I don't blame them. They do whatever they have to do to get into the business, and that's the kind of music that's hitting today.
And if I may say, it's the managers that are pushing them.
I don't really know who controls it.
Okay.
Maybe the radio stations, maybe mm-hmm. the record companies.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they feel like they can push it across into the pop field. I really don't know. I don't blame them, but I just don't care much for it.
And let's speak a little bit about COVID-19. Your touring has been interrupted by this, has it not?
It not only interrupted, it stopped us in midair.
Yes, okay.
We worked a lot of shows for years and years. I've been in the business 65 years. And all of a sudden, boom, it just stopped everything in midair. And so we have had nothing to do professionally since since last February. The last show date was then. I decided I might stay busy, too, so I started writing a book.
Oh, have you? That'd be amazing to see, yes.
I've got it about two-thirds done.
Amazing.
And before this pandemic is over, I'll have it finished.
Well, that'll be great. We will be looking forward to reading that. Yes, it's a memoir?
It's kind of a biography, but it includes a lot more than just a biography. It talks about the business, a lot of stories,
mm-hmm.
not only things that happened to me, but things that happened to our co-workers and fellow performers.
Yes.
But it is a biography, but it's not a tell-all story, but it includes references to quite a lot of my friends.
Okay, sure. And on that note, we'll ask the last question, and that is, how would Leroy Van Dyke, the auctioneer of country music, like to be remembered?
I'd like to be remembered that I showed up on time and did a professional show and didn't leave anybody mad.
Exactly, and you haven't left us mad, that's for sure. We love your music to this day. Yep. And hopefully one of these days when COVID is over, you can get back up here in Canada.
Oh, we'll be back on the road again. We don't know exactly when. It kind of depends on when the vaccine is administered to enough people that they think it's safe.
Exactly.
But until that time, my wife's taking care of bookwork, and my son is making parts for guitars and playing some local gigs, and I'm writing a book.
Well, that sounds good. Well, you have a blessed day, Leroy, and it's been a pleasure to have you on the show once again.
Well, thank you, Johnny.
God bless you.
Take care of yourself.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
If I see you tomorrow on some street in town, pardon me if I don't say hello. Walk on by, wait on the corner. I love you, but we're strangers when we meet. Just walk on by, wait on the corner. Say goodbye again.
Goodbye.
But I know it's not over. I'll call tomorrow night. I can't let you go, so why pretend? Just walk on by. Wait on the corner.
Howdy, friends and listeners of the Way Back Country Jamboree. Have you ever had a comment or suggestion or a request for this program that you listen to every weekend on Sundays from 8 to 11? Well, have you ever wondered how to contact your host, Johnny Woodlock, or co-hostess, Simbush the Wonder Husky? Well, we're inviting y'all to write us here at the ranch. By snail mail, just send your letters care of Woodlock Ranch Studios and care of Mr. Johnny Woodlock, P.O. Box 21007, that's 21007, Cornwall, Ontario, K6H7H8, Canada, or by email at waybackcountry@cfrc.ca. And we'll be sure to write y'all back. In the meantime, we'll be waiting for your letters by the mailbox, so send those letters on in. Now, back to the show.
So keep those cards and letters coming in.
Now, friends, before we send this into the third and final hour at 10 o'clock here this morning, I would like to share a song which will be going out to our friends south of the border, where the red, white, and blue Old Glory flies to this day. During the war year, a lot of men and women both served overseas, and so our tribute to the war veterans is going to be this next song. But it is also going out to our dear friend Jimmy Rogers of Carthage, New York, who loves this song as well and served as well, and it's going to be an all-time classic titled Ragged Old Flag. Now, I would also like to say that on September 24th, just a couple weeks ago, the man in black, Johnny Cash, had a statue unveiled in his honor in Washington, D.C., the capital of the United States. So with that mention, I would like to remember Johnny this morning with a classic titled, Yes, the Ragged Old Flag. And I do hope y'all enjoy hearing this all-time favorite by the man in black once again, and we'll be back following this. Send us all into 10 o'clock hour. Good morning, friends.
I walked through a county courthouse square. On a park bench, an old man was sitting there. I said, your old courthouse is kind of run down. He said, no, it'll do for our little town. I said, your old flagpole has leaned a little bit, and that's a ragged old flag you got hanging on it. He said, have a seat. And I sat down. Is this the first time you've been to our little town? I said, I think it is. He said, I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag. You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across the Delaware. And it got powder burned the night that Francis Scott Key said, watching it right and say, can you see? And it got a bad rip in New Orleans with Pakenham and Jackson tugging at its seams. And it almost fell at the Alamo beside the Texas flag, but she waved on, though. She got cut with a sword at Chancellorsville, and she got cut again at Shiloh Hill. There was Robert E. Lee, Beauregard, and Bragg, and the south wind blew hard on that ragged old flag. On Flanders Field in World War I, she got a big hole from a Bertha gun. She turned blood red in World War II. She hung limp and low a time or two. She was in Korea, Vietnam. She went where she was sent by her Uncle Sam. She waved from our ships upon the briny foam, and now they've about quit waving back here at home. In her own good land here, she's been abused. She's been burned, dishonored, denied, and refused. And the government for which she stands is scandalized throughout the land. And she's getting threadbare and she's wearing thin, but she's in good shape for the shape she's in. Cause she's been through the fire before, and I believe she can take a whole lot more. So we raise her up every morning, we take her down every night, we don't let her touch the ground, and we fold her up right. On second thought, I do like to brag, cause I'm mighty proud of that ragged old flag.
Words cannot come close to expressing our pride to see my dad accorded such a singular privilege, the first musician in history to be included in the Statuary Hall collection. So I'm very careful not to put words in his mouth since his passing, but on this day, I can safely say that he would feel that of all the many honors and accolades he received in his lifetime, This is the ultimate. Thank you, Kevin Cressy, for capturing his very essence in bronze. You see this statue and you know this is no one else but Johnny.
What do you think about the status of where the statues are? I had talked with you when you first met him and you saw the mock-up. Yeah. But what do you think about the status of everything?
Well, I'm sure you probably... People realized that my family was nervous about how it would turn out. Like, that would Kevin be able to really see the subtleties of my dad's bone structure and his demeanor, you know, and his dignity? Kevin got all of it. It was really remarkable and deeply moving that he really took in who my dad was, and that comes through in the sculpture and in the statue. It's beautiful. Really proud.
Well, friends, I thought I'd just include a little clip there from Roseanne Cash's speech there before the unveiling of the Johnny Cash statue in Washington, D.C. So that is who that voice was Roseanne Cash. And now we find ourselves at the end of the second hour of the Way Back Country Jamboree and the 9 o'clock hour here this morning. Once again, it's time to share the gospel of country music with y'all through a collection of gospel favorites. Let's begin with the legendary Carol Smith and a classic titled The Blood That Stained the Old Rugged Cross. Then we'll follow with the singing ranger Hank Snow himself and a classic titled Dear Lord, Remember Me. And we'll send us into the very top of the 10 o'clock hour, the third and final hour, with Leroy Van Dyke once again and a classic titled Precious Lord, Take My Hand. With that, I hope to talk to y'all on the other side of the 10 o'clock hour, and I'd just like to say good morning to each and every one of my listeners.
Our blessed Savior died, gave his life to save the world from lost. In his pain and agony, for every sin to hide, shed the blood that stained the old rugged cross.
Was his blood, his precious blood, that stained the old rugged cross? Was his love that paid the awful cost? Oh, soul so far astray, come and plunge today in the blood that stained the old rugged cross. To bear, for I know in God's own time He'll set me free. But as I pray, dear Lord, remember me. Remember me when tears are falling down. Remember me when trouble's all around. Calling the roll, oh Lord, remember me.
must be mine to bear uncomplainingly. I've decided, come what may, I'll follow thee. But as I pray, dear Lord, remember me. I won't mind, though I may go through waters deep, still this song my prayer shall be. If I'm right, I know I'll gain the victory. But as I pray, dear Lord, remember me. Remember me when tears are falling down. Remember me when trouble's all around. And look down at the river of Jordan in calling the roll, O Lord. Remember me.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on,
let me stand.
I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light.
Take my hand.
Precious Lord,
lead me home.
When my way groweth drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is gone, hear my cry. Lest I fall,
take my hand,
precious Lord,
lead me home.
When the darkness appears and the night draws near, and the day is gone. At the river I stand, guide my feet, hold my hand, take my hand, precious Lord,
lead me home.
Precious Lord, take my hand,
lead
me on,
let me stand.
I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light.
Take my hand,
precious Lord,
lead me home.
Take my hand,
precious Lord,
lead me home.
There was a boy in Arkansas who wouldn't listen to his ma when she told him he should go to school. He'd sneak away in the afternoon, take a little walk, then pretty soon you'd find him at the local auction barn.
I'm a 25, 30, 35, 35, 40, who repeated a 4. Oh, hi, this is Leroy Van Dyke, the auctioneer. You're listening to my good friend Johnny Woodlock on the Wayback Country Jamboree. Stay with us, I know you're going to hear something like.
50 down a bit and now 55, we'll begin a 55, and make it a 55, a bit of 55, I sold that home for the $50.
Well, following those classic gospel favorites, we're back here on the Wayback Country Jamboree on Sunday morning show. show. We're just sitting on the other side of the 10 o'clock hour, which means there's one more great hour of country classics for y'all next. As I welcome you all to the third and final hour at 10 o'clock here this morning, I would also once again like to remind y'all that we are coming to you via the Woodlawk Ranch and Studios